A debt crisis has been averted by Congress, for now. On a party-line vote last night, lawmakers temporarily lifted the debt ceiling. That's an important cap on how much the government can borrow.
And by temporary, we mean December 3rd. That's when lawmakers are now going to have to lift the debt ceiling again, or not, and get ready for another congressional pileup, because that's the same day there might be another government shutdown. All of this is happening, of course, as Democrats still struggling to pass President Biden's $3.5 trillion social spending plan. We expect that price tag to fall significantly. Our Friday roundtable joins us now. Paul Kane is senior congressional correspondent for The Washington Post. Paul, welcome.
Hey, welcome. Thanks, guys.
Sure thing. And Maya King, a politics reporter for Politico. Maya, welcome to you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Paul, I want to start with you. Just, I think it's worth reminding people how we avoided this debt ceiling crisis.
Sure. You know, this is the debt ceiling is something you get every couple of years. We essentially hit this weird legal limit that we're one of the rare countries in the developed world anyway, that even has this law that says you can only borrow so much money. So the date, after all the different sort of, they call them extraordinary measures, juggling accounts around, the Treasury Secretary said October 18th is the deadline. So they basically had Congress a couple weeks to figure this out, even though there had been months and months advance warning of a rough date. And Mitch McConnell at the last minute decided, rather than holding back all the Republican votes because he was angry over this big agenda that Democrats are pushing, he said, look, I'll give you a couple months more time to work this out. You're still going to have to do it on your own. But you've got a couple more months here. I'll give you $480 billion. How does that sound? Chuck Schumer was staring at, you know, having no real clear plan of how to pass this, and basically did what every good congressional leader ends up doing. They accepted the punt, and it took a while because they needed to get Republicans to back this little temporary reprieve, and they got it done.
And they did. And they did. They got 11 Republicans on board. Actually, Mitch McConnell got some heat from other members of his party. Here's Senator Lindsey Graham.
Well, we screwed up. For 2 months, we promised our base and the American people that we would not help the Democratic Party raise the debt ceiling so they could spend $3.5 to $5 trillion through reconciliation. At the end of the day, we blinked.
Maya, Lindsey Graham knows that lifting the debt ceiling really had nothing to do with the new government spending. That had more to do with what was happening during the Trump administration. But what do you think about what Mitch McConnell did and some of that blowback that he got from members of his own party?
Well, the way I see it is really the use of what is an otherwise kind of procedural, but also a little bit boring and kind of difficult to understand portion of the daily engagements of Congress. It's really been heavily politicized now, and Republicans have seen that. And I think that's why you saw those strong words from Schumer on the Senate floor yesterday, kind of laying this issue at the feet of Republicans, with Manchin behind him, a Democrat, very disappointed, very visibly disappointed in his colleague for essentially saying, you know, I hope that my Republican colleagues will not put us in this really difficult position yet again, closer to the holiday season, when we'll revisit this all over again in December.
Well, Maya, let's stay on the Democrats here. You kind of set the scene here of Joe Manchin putting his head in his hands last night as his party leader Chuck Schumer was talking. Let's take a listen to Schumer here.
Senate Republicans finally realized that their obstruction was not going to work. I thank my Democratic colleagues for our showing our unity in solving this Republican manufactured crisis.
And now, Paul, I mean, Charlie Schumer is great at doing this, right? The enduring joke in Washington is the most dangerous place in town is between Charlie Schumer and a microphone. But the reality is Schumer and the Democrats, they only get a brief reprieve here, right? They still have issues.
Yeah, I think Schumer was guilty there of basically acting as if he had scored a touchdown, to use some football metaphors, or into football season, when in fact, really, all he got was the other team willing to punt the ball, and he's still pretty far back in his own territory right now. There's not a whole lot to cheer about. They averted the worst case scenario. That's true. The economy's not going to collapse because of a Washington-induced crisis at least for now. But now he has piled up all these things into December and possibly into January that they have to do. They're still trying to figure out how to pass the $1.2 trillion infrastructure plan that was bipartisan when it passed the Senate. They've got a multi-trillion dollar social policy agenda that is basically nowhere near ready. They've got ideas and concepts and some proposals, but they don't have any formal structure of what it's going to look like, let alone full agreement on the taxes and revenue that they're going to use to pay for this. So there's a lot that has to get done here for Democrats. And now it's all being piled up into, you know, potentially a several week period in December. And when you put that many things into the agenda at once, that's what McConnell is betting. That many things at once, something's going to blow up.
That's a traffic.
Well, let's let's go to the content real quick and to Maya. On CBS yesterday, Progressive Caucus Chair Pramila Jayapal said her members are not drawing a red line on a price tag for an ambitious social spending plan. Let's take a listen.
We want pre-K. We want free community college. We want housing investments. We want to take on climate change in a real way. And we want immigration and Medicare expansion so that people, seniors, have dental, vision, and hearing. So we would be willing to trim the number a little bit by cutting back the years for some of these programs.
So, Maya, is the left wing of this party relenting a little bit?
Well, I think there are a couple things at work here. I don't think that progressives are relenting, but I do believe that they see the writing on the wall. And they still are in a position of power, and they understand that, having successfully, as they would refer to, holding the line to actually get the rest of the party to cooperate with them on the terms of this bill that they wanted. I think the difficulty now is the timing. As Paul pointed out, we have quite a bit of Democrats have quite a bit to accomplish that's going to put them between December and January in terms of this timeline of finishing. And that's going to coincide very sharply with the campaign season. This is when the campaigns on both sides start to craft their messaging. I think what we're hearing more from Jayapal and what we'll continue to hear from progressives and Democrats who are trying to go on the offensive here is that they have to have something to bring to voters, and they have to have something passed pretty quickly so that when they do start to campaign in full swing next year, they can say, this is what we have to show for our total control of Washington over the last 2 years.
Well, and I think that's why it's worth pointing out that the Democrats, as we've been talking here, have been having a very difficult time of late. Look at the jobs numbers that came out today, 194,000 last month, not the 500,000 that some economists had predicted. The White House is blaming the pandemic, but Biden is struggling, and his poll numbers are reflecting that. Look at this Quinnipiac poll out this week that showed Biden's approval rating has dropped to its lowest, 38%. Paul, what do you think? Weigh in here. What are the political fortunes of the Democrats right now?
It's not good, and it is because in some ways they are just trying to do everything all at once. And when they're trying to do everything all at once, they don't do anything at all. And, you know, look, one surefire thing that would be nice to have if you're a president amid sagging job numbers is a bipartisan jobs plan already sitting there waiting to be passed. And they have that. It's an infrastructure bill worth more than $1 trillion. But one wing of the Democratic Party says, no, we don't want to pass that until we get the more ambitious social policy plan passed. Well, so now they're stuck. They can't get the infrastructure thing passed, that which would help the economy. It would look like there was progress. Things were happening. And now Manchin and Sinema in the Senate are sitting there saying, I can't come up with a real top line number. I don't have a whole lot of details on what I want in the ambitious social policy thing. What I really want is for you to pass the infrastructure bill. Well, no, well, we can't pass the infrastructure bill because you won't agree to the social policy thing. And this back and forth is happening and nothing gets done. And that's where you look at this malaise setting in the polls.
So Maya, take a look at this. We've got just a minute left here. Maya, take a look at this through the lens of the governor's race in Virginia, which I know you're following. The state went to Biden over Trump by 10 points. Now, polls in this race suggest it's a virtual tie between the Democrat Terry McAuliffe and the Republican Glenn Youngkin.
We're really in a momentum season now with this campaign, and you are hearing, especially from former Governor McAuliffe, a heightened sense of urgency around Democrats getting things done in Washington before next month's election. Not sure how possible that is, but we know that Virginia has long been a bellwether, a litmus test, whatever you'd like to call it, for the party in power's fortunes. That's Democrats right now. How they do next year is going to set the tone, or excuse me, next month will set the tone for how they do in many ways next year.
It's coming up fast, isn't it? Maya King, politics reporter for Politico. Paul Kane, senior congressional correspondent for The Washington Post. It's been a pleasure to speak with both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.